When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
I will be completely silent and I'll put my mouth in this cup.
Great. Okay. Podcast starts now.
Podcast starts now. Sam, listen, last week we released our episode where we went into your past relationship with one Nick Nanny. How do you feel?
I feel so incredible to have that out in the open. I feel a weight lifted. And I feel like, you know, it's only going up from here. I think, you know, Nick and I, this just shows how powerful we are as a couple of friends, of course, and
a couple of friends,
and how much we can grow and learn. And
here's what I'll say. I think when we fabricated that fake story about Nick and you hooking up, I think that was really smart because it's a way to grow our fan base to the very specific community of Kinsey One, kind of chill bros.
I am nixing this premise. I'm saying fuck you to all of my improv training. And I'm saying, no, queen. I am saying this happened and you will not negate my experience by telling the listeners that it was made up and that I'm some kind of crazy gay guy who's making up fantasies of hooking up with his friend who loves movies. No, it's real and it happened.
Sam, every time we, you know, are in mixed company, there's a straight guy there, you always turn to me and you go, we hooked up. And it's, you know, I'm not an idiot.
George, it happens, okay? I don't know what's wrong with me or right with me, but it happens. And I'm not making anything up. I've never lied to you. I've only told the truth on this podcast because I believe that truth is so important and powerful as a tool of comedy.
Sure, sure. Truth is so powerful as a tool of comedy. That's actually something I've always said. Have you ever hooked up with a gay guy?
No, they're too weird.
Yeah, they're weird. They're fucking weird.
I love gay guys, obviously. Just like, don't be so weird all the time.
Yeah. Well, gay guys are a sleigh.
Yeah. Whereas straight guys are sort of a work.
A work. Yeah. Yeah. When I see a straight guy, I say, okay, work. And then when I see a gay guy, I say, sleigh it off, the boots, house. That's what I always say.
Well, you always are saying that.
I'm always saying that in kind of that disinterested way. I always, if I'm at a drag show, for instance, I will sit, I'll be sitting in the corner, I'll be maybe reading Susan Sontag, and I will look up momentarily and I'll say, slay the boots down house.
Well,
and then I'll go back to my book.
You know, you think that that's like the duality of man. That's why you have those two.
I do think that's the duality of man. Thank you. That was
the knuckle tattoos on both of your hands. One that says slay and the other, of course, says work.
Slay and work. Yes. And I did get those in gay prison. Yeah, it was me.
Which sounds bad, but
Trixie Mattel.
Yeah. I mean, you formed like some of the most lifelong friendships there.
Some of the most lifelong friendships, that's actually what Orange is the New Black is based on, but they made all the characters straight except for like two.
I feel like all the characters in that show were actually gay.
Yeah, bad example for sure. But in my version, it was all men and they made them all women because of, you know, the feminazi kind of Hollywood agenda.
Yeah, I think it is so messed up how good Hollywood is to women.
When I pitched that to Jenji Kohan, she said, I love this and I love your energy, but we're going to replace you with that girl from That 70s Show.
That's so sad, George. I'm really sorry that happened to you.
It's weird because then I was blacklisted.
Orange is the New Blacklisted, more like it.
I was orange listed.
Come on, that was an incredible riff. A to die for riff. Some people pay extra for a riff like that, and I'm giving it away for free. I'll tell you what.
Right when you said that riff, it became a Patreon-only episode.
Yeah, suddenly
stopped playing now, and people can't hear it. There's a pop-up that keeps coming up saying, did you like that riff? Please pay here.
Enter
your credit card information now.
But definitely I would like to offer this Stradiolab challenge for this episode is send us your credit card info. You know, we please need a Christmas too. And I think it's so important that you send us your credit card info so that we can buy stuff for us to feel better. Because when we're happy, we make better podcasts. And that's just the truth.
Yes.
So, George, what do you want for Christmas this year?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was trying to make things topical because I did remember that it is, in fact, Christmas almost.
And let me tell you something. It is going so well.
And I...
You would think asking me what I wanted for Christmas is such an open-ended question that I could so easily take it and run with it, and then we would already be like on a different train of thought. In fact, though, my brain is moving so fast that I have fully dissociated.
Yes. Galaxy brain, you're so smart, you know nothing.
Galaxy Quest, starring Sigourney Weaver. I want the DVD of that for Christmas.
There you go. We got there.
Well, now that we've built up that tension, I think it's time to... in the words of Nanette Gatsby, relieve the audience of the tension by introducing our guest.
I think that is such a great instinct. And in the words of Nanette Gatsby, please welcome to the Stradiolab cinematic universe, Patty Harrison.
Now, Patty, did you like Nanette?
When it came out, I did. Well... So I have a very unique, special experience about it. So,
oh, I would love to hear that.
You wrote it.
Okay. I'll tell you right now. So I didn't know what Nanette was. I knew that people were talking about it. I thought it was just a one-woman show, like a theater thing. And then my friend, who is like a playwright, invited me to go see her, I think her second to last show that she was doing in New York. So I saw it live and I didn't have any expectations about it. And I was very moved by it. And,
wow.
And
yeah.
So, but I didn't know it was supposed to be like a stand-up special. So I think I think when I saw a lot of people like the gripes about it, the Netflix version was that it was like being marketed as a stand-up special, and it is funny. It's like, and she is doing stand-up, but I think it's also like, you know, there's a lot of her screaming about being attacked in it. And
right.
So, which is kind of how I do stand up. So I didn't see a problem with that, but, I was moved when I saw it. I cried when I saw it.
Wow.
But it's a different
thing. It's a different thing. And this is a similar issue that I've been having with the sequel to Nanette, Constitution Nanette, which is What the Constitution Means to Me. Another show where if you go in with no expectations, you are moved by it. But if you go in with expectations, you're like, well, this is Constitution Nanette.
I saw Nanette with Heidi Schreck. That's who took me.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I worked with her, and it was like right after we'd finished, like we were in a writer's room together. It was like my first writer's room, and she invited me to go see it. I thought the televised version of What the Constitution Means to Me, I think it would just be like a hard thing to market, and I was like worried. Because I saw it live, thought it was like absolutely incredible. And then I was afraid to watch the film version because I was like, this is probably going to like be like weird. I feel like there's just like it's hard to capture whatever that like feeling mm-hmm. when you see it live. But I thought it was still really great. The special version
That's why Sam and I have said no to all requests to make Stradiolab into a kind of 24-hour Netflix special.
Yeah. They wanted to sort of, they were like, it was sort of going to be like Middleditch and Schwartz, but instead of on a stage doing improv, we were going to be sort of sitting at mics just sort of doing this. They offered a ton of money, of course.
Yeah.
It was going to be us and Mike, so it was going to be Nick Kroll and John Mulaney as their characters from Oh Hello playing us in mics, all then lip synced by Sarah Cooper. And then there would be sketches that would be animated in the style of South Park that were all like anti-PC culture. Mm. And all of it was going to be part of Netflix's Pride Month.
Mm.
And it was going to run for the whole month. It was going to be a
for the whole month. 24
hour stream, and I said for 30 days.
24 hour stream for 30 days. And it was, I mean, it was really a lot of moving parts because Nick Kroll and John Mulaney and Sarah Cooper and the entire creative team that for the first season of South Park, they all got together and reunited.
Well, that's, yeah.
And then we promoted it on Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And he, in fact, the guests were us, Hannah Gatsby and Heidi Schreck.
Wow. That is really crazy. And yeah, I wanted to Sam, that probably for so like coincident or maybe serendipitous for you, Sam, because I remember you telling me what Middleditch and Schwartz and Mulaney and Nick Kroll, those are all men that you said you've had sex with or made out with in the very least, and they all had big cocks. You told me about them now all having big cocks, right?
Sam, that I actually remember you told me that too, and you said, don't tell Patty.
Sam said Middleditch and Schwartz had two of the biggest cocks he'd ever seen.
You said two of the biggest
in the
cocks.
Same room. They were so big, they were pushing each other out of the room, point to point, tip to tip.
Yeah, we were in a basketball court, and we couldn't fit in the basketball court.
Whoa!
And then, Middleditch, the big cock got caught in the net. And
you left that detail out the first time you told me that story, honey. But we were on bicycles, so it was hard for me to hear.
Yeah, that we were in the highway, so everyone was honking at us. So it was hard
to have a conversation while bicycling on the
shoulder
on
of the highway. We weren't on the road.
Shoulder of the highway. But, on the way to the big Netflix premiere of Stradiolab.
The
problem was that we had a sign on our bikes that we thought was funny that said honk if you're horny, and everyone that went by was honking. And we were trying to have a conversation.
It was nuts.
And we couldn't get over it.
I couldn't really hear a lot of what Sam was saying. And then it was so, this, I, this fucking was so crazy to have this happen. But we literally were on biking on the shoulder of the road and we're rolling up and there's a car broken down and they're waiting. I guess people like waiting for AAA and it's the Duplass brothers. And yeah. So Sam was like, you bike ahead. And so I did, no questions asked. And then about 15 minutes later, Sam caught up with me and he told me that he had sex with both of them and that they had big cocks.
Yeah, the Duplass brothers, right? Mm-hmm.
Duplass?
Yeah, and then
Duplass. I don't know how to say it.
No, you said it. It's interesting because then they made a film about it, Sam was played by Jake Johnson from New Girl.
Yeah.
Which was really controversial because, you know, obviously casting straight actors in queer roles, you know, there's a lot of debate happening around
why?
That. But what they did, which was interesting. What they did, which was interesting,
why?
Is that
go
they cast...
Before you go there, I don't know why.
So, well, it's this debate, you know, it's a lot of people say that all queer roles should be played by Eddie Redmayne. And so, but sometimes they cast different actors.
Yeah.
So, but what happened in this movie is that the Sam character, the gay character, was played by Jake Johnson, but then the Duplass brothers were played by... Trixie Mattel and Bob the Drag Queen.
Aww.
So it was a reverse. They cast the gay people as the straight characters and the gay character as the straight people.
So
I wish... I don't know if I agree.
Yeah.
I wish they cast... My dream cast would be... it would be Mark Duplass... His brother, sorry for forgetting your name,
Jay.
And then I think Jake Johnson, and then sure. Oscar Isaac, and then I think that's it.
Guys, I'm
now in the scene in the movie where Sam tells you, Patty Harrison, that the Duplass brothers have huge cocks. Who played you? Do you remember?
Oh, it was Maggie Smith. I was really upset when I saw the casting.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, and no offense to either of you, it's a weird choice.
Well, I was having, I was having the worst body dysmorphia episode, like the day when my manager called me and told me. And they literally sent like a bottle of champagne. They thought I'd be happy about it. And I tried, and you know, I'll edit myself a little bit. I tried KMS.
Oh no.
Well, because you have, and Patty, I sorry to air this out, you've told me, but you have a very specific kind of body dysmorphia where you think you look like Maggie Smith. So
this kind of hit the nail on the head.
It was targeted for the fact that they would literally cast the person you spent every day you wake up, look in the mirror and say, fuck, I look exactly like Dame Maggie
Smith. Okay, then why the fuck are you laughing about that? I don't think it's funny. I think it's not really.
When I get nervous, I laugh. I'm sorry. It's kind of a tick.
Also, it doesn't matter. I think we're gonna have to cut out this whole section because, like, ever since me and the Duplass brothers had that meeting, they set up Google alerts for me and them. So, whenever like I bring them up on the pod, which you know, of course, is a lot, they'll like call me and sort of ream me out, and not in a fun hot way, just a normal
not in a fun hot
way. And so basically this is all unusable.
Can I ask you an honest question?
Yeah.
An honest sincere question. What do you think, if any, Google alerts Mark Duplass has set? What do you think his Google alerts are? Be honest.
I mean, I bet he has his name. One. Mm-hmm. I bet he has Mumblecore. Mm-hmm. I bet he has his name and the word hot.
Yeah. I bet you he has the phrase, quote, Jay Duplass hotter than Mark Duplass? End quote.
I bet he has like Greta Gerwig found dead, saved.
That's a weird one, but yeah, I that does sound right.
Mark's always like talking about this premonition he once had, in which he I feel like it happens to him maybe once a month. He always calls me, and it's like he's seeing like police sirens and like a bridge and like Greta Gerwig's face yelling.
Yelling.
Just sort of a general ah.
Greta Gerwig is one of the most Greta Gerwig is one of the most toxic people in Hollywood, and a lot of people don't talk about that. I think the reckoning for her is coming. She always does this thing in her movie sets where she will yell at actors, just filming a take. You know, it'll be like, you know, action. Saoirse Ronan will start talking to Timothée Chalamet and they're kind of in the zone. And then suddenly Greta Gerwig will appear behind her, take her by the shoulders and say, ah!
That's so scary.
People don't talk about it because they're afraid of retaliation. And of course, she has a lot of power in Hollywood. I mean, she is the writer, creator, and star of HBO's industry.
Okay, can I tell you guys... okay, off the record.
Okay, yeah, we won't use this.
Yeah, no, we're not recording.
I have a close friend who has like worked with her for years, Greta Gerwig, and she told me that she saw the Google alerts that Greta Gerwig has set. And she only has two Google alerts set. And
what are they?
One is advances.
What? Advances?
Advances in alien technology. and oh no, alien invasion now? ?
That one seems really ineffective.
Humanizes her. It humanizes her to me because to be someone who clearly has some issues, you know, someone who yells at their actors, someone who is very volatile on set, it makes more sense when you know that she's just constantly on edge because she's worried about an alien invasion.
And that's so important to like think about, like, yeah, someone might be a monster, but we don't know what's happening in their head. And like, it's so
important. Here's what I'll say about that. Listen.
I'm listening.
Cancel culture. Yeah, okay. I think what people don't know is what people are going through.
Yeah.
So true.
Frida Kahlo.
Exactly.
Van accident. Big pole went up in her vagina and out her brain.
And out her brain. People don't know that.
And now her brain.
And out her brain.
And out her brain. That's what I'm saying. It's so crazy because Frida Kahlo had all these really kind of trippy and crazy paintings and people said, wow, she's a genius. No, she had brain damage from the pole.
Yeah.
She needed help.
And everyone saw the pole, but they did nothing about it. They just said, she's
literally
crazy.
Everyone was like, oh, great. And they said, you know what? The ends justify the means. Like if this pole going through your brain made you create all these beautiful paintings, then you know what they said? It was worth it.
Well, you know what the hospital, they did an autopsy after she died to figure out what made her art so crazy and excellent. And they found out, and again, this is off the record, they found out.
Yeah, we're not recording.
And I have a close friend who worked at the hospital and in the lab. And guess what it was?
What?
And when she got in that van accident, the pole went in her vagina. And then
you said that.
I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm just reiterating everyone's on track.
You've actually told this. Yeah,
everyone needs to be on track. And, right. And the pole went...
I cannot believe you were giving that as if it were new information.
I'm sorry, but we literally just finished talking about the pole that went inside of her and out of her brain. The idea that you would now just name drop that you know someone who worked in the lab just to tell the same story.
Like, we had already established that.
Listen, you guys are being so mean to me. I got in a small car accident this morning. Okay? No. And so I'm just kind of shaken. I'm like, fine, but I'm a little shaken and this morning. So just like be nice a little bit. I'm doing your podcast. I got in a car accident this morning, a really small one.
And this, it's right. You actually just, it was, you actually just got in the car and went somewhere. There was no contact, but it was a small car accident in the sense that, you know, the car moved.
Well, you didn't mean to.
Yeah. I don't drive. I got in a Lyft. The Lyft driver pulled into my driveway and then I got in the car and instead of reversing, he drove into my house.
Okay. Well, that actually does sound like a more legitimate car accident than I thought. I mean, he did. That is both a car accident and, you know, kind of an issue for you that now your house
is. Well, let me just say what was really what made it bad is that I wasn't expecting it. And when he did hit my garage, I wasn't wearing my seatbelt because I had just gotten in the car and I slid.
Right.
My body slid up into the front of the car between the two seats and my face went. It's like little cup holder area, dashboard area, and a bunch of M&Ms went in my mouth. He had a bunch of loose M&Ms and they like went in my mouth.
I have to say, Patty, you know, you initially said this was a minor car accident, but it actually sounds pretty major. I mean, and if the car literally drove into your house and then your face went into the cup holder with the M&Ms, I mean, are you sure you're okay to continue doing the podcast?
Yeah, I'm fine. I didn't get hurt. It's just like I can't really have M&Ms because of the dye.
Yeah.
So I got really scared. Yeah. It was scary for a second. I thought I was going to get my eyes get kind of itchy if I eat the dye. So but anyways, that's all to say that in the lab they found that the reason why her art was so good was that the poem.
Patty.
No, let me. I have to finish the poem. Vagina.
And out of her brain, right?
The pole went in her vagina.
Yeah,
out of her brain,
and it went through her brain because, and it had her pussy juice on it, and her period too, and that's why her ideas were so good.
Because
and
the pussy juice and period juice was getting into the brain.
Yeah, that's why her art was really on feminine topics.
Right. But you know what?
Well, thank you for that new bit of information.
Yeah. So I guess, Patty, the new bit of information was simply that she was on her period. That's what the lab technician told you. So this entire, just, you know.
Why are you?
Is that accurate?
Why are you being so condescending? Did you not have your turmeric latte this morning?
Got him. Fucking got him.
Anyway, I mean, there is a rich history of women creating art and then people ascribing it to some kind of mental or physical disorder.
Okay,
I'm glad
name
we could
one.
Here's what I want to say. I have a question for both of you. Mm-hmm. So this driver that picked you up and drove right into the house.
Yeah.
Not enough with the sob story about the
what
driver.
What do you think his Google alerts are?
Okay, can I tell you something?
Okay.
I know what...
I knew this was coming.
I know what the Google alerts are because my driver, who wasn't a he, was a she. And it's exactly who you think it was.
Greta?
Yeah, she's side hustling right now for a role.
She's gonna play.
She's playing
Lyft
a Lyft
driver
in the movie about the Duplass brothers having huge cocks.
Yeah, I like.
Well, the reboot
I didn't
of
know.
The movie.
Yeah,
the sequel. The scene where Sam tells Patty, played by Maggie Smith, about the huge cocks happened in a Lyft on the way to. The big premiere
of our podcast.
Of the movie that, in fact, it's kind of a Charlie Kaufman situation. It's a movie within a movie. So they're going to the premiere of the movie they're already in. And Greta Gerwig plays the Lyft driver, but is also the director. So she also kept running, you know, turning around and yelling at both of you.
Well, I learned this morning that she's not yelling because she's mad. She's yelling because she can't talk anymore. And you know why they're this bad is because she has mania. Or what is it?
Hysteria?
What do women get?
Hysteria. Greta Gerwig has hysteria.
Stradio Lab exclusive.
Yeah, she wrote it on an envelope on a piece of mail that was in the car.
Oh.
And she said, "Hey, the screams aren't at you. Sorry, can't really talk right now. I'm hysterical."
The thing with hysteria was, of course, famously a disease that was attributed to women
who were being weird.
Exactly. In a different time when people, you know, it was a very kind of misogynist thing. But there is now a movement to reclaim hysteria. And there are women who are proudly saying, "Yeah, I have hysteria. But I'm still a girl boss."
She wrote that on the back of the envelope. She said,
"She wrote
not." She said, "Not apostrophe shamed of it or nothing. I'm a girl boss. I just have to contextualize that. Yeah, I got my period so bad one time it made me crazy, and now I can't talk. And I just But she's rocking it, and she's rocking it,
and you know, she looks great, and she's having a blast.
And you know what? We're living.
And the work is it's shown in the work. I love the work,
and it's shown in the work. I mean, who could forget that scene in Little Women where Saoirse Ronan says, "I'm on my period.
I'm fucking crazy because I'm on my period so bad."
Oh my god, that's. Do you remember? Do you remember the goosebumps you got when that scene came on?
I remember I loved the original, and like when I saw this was added, I was like, that's actually brilliant. Like, duh.
Right. Well, the original was not feminist, and then Greta Gerwig put the scene in where Saoirse Ronan has her period, and then it became feminist.
Yeah, in the part in the movie where she lifts her big fluffy under thing, and she's like, and the dresses back then had those like big wireframes or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or is exactly, that a different time?
No, we can say it's this time.
Okay.
No, it's the same. Yeah, it's set in the. It's actually a Jane Austen novel. Yeah.
And Laura Dern, that part where she's like, "What's going on? A little girl, what's going on?" And she's like, "Ah, shit, mom, I got blood on my frame."
And then she did something which I thought was such an interesting way to make it more contemporary, which is that using the blood, she wrote "nasty woman" on the wall of the house they were all living
but
in.
But she spelled it wrong because women didn't have the access to education.
Women, so and exactly, some people would see that and say, "Oh, she's stupid." But no, the message of the movie was that the issues are structural. They didn't have access to education.
Well, they even show that in the movie. They show she writes that on the wall, and Laura Dern, her mom, like amazing performance, that part where she's like, "Oh no, you're stupid."
That's how you know it. She called, even her mom didn't, her mind didn't go to the structural issue. Mm-hmm. She called her stupid. Yeah. And that's how you see that, you know, sometimes women stand in the way of other badass, powerful
women. Because they're jealous.
Because
that's because when there's two badass, powerful women, you can't have that because they are strong. They're both strong. And when they're both strong, they just start like clashing with each other. And mm-hmm. Just got to have the one.
You just got to have the one.
Mm-hmm. You can only you can have two powerful men like the Duplass brothers, for instance, but the Duplass sisters, I've never heard of something like that.
Oh my god. You said that and I got chills from my toes to my head.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what would be actually insane? George,
I know what you're going to say.
Should we do our first segment? Or
I think it's time.
Like, how absolutely bonkers and twisted is it to just like...
It's time. It's time. But you know what? We can't... We need to just go right into it.
Okay, you describe it.
Okay, Patty Harrison, our first segment is called Straight Shooters. And it is a segment where we give you a rapid fire list of kind of A or B questions, this or that. And you have to choose one or the other, and it is to gauge your familiarity with and complicity in straight culture. And the one rule is that you can't ask any follow-up questions about how the game works. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, question one. Reading a book, reading The Room, or Nancy Pelosi reading Donald Trump to filth?
I gotta say, I love a good book. And I love when people can, you know, I also love when people can just like, you know, be like, now's not the time, you know, they can look at a situation. But when Nancy Pelosi, oh my God, when she did that clap, I said, this is, I was sitting in the back of a Lyft, and it was actually like, cause I don't drive, and it was in a slight fender bender, but because of.
It is so interesting. People usually kind of pick one. It's rapid fire. Usually people pick one and then we move on. But I'm really liking the peek behind the curtain in terms of the answer that you haven't picked yet.
I love that it's leading to another Lyft accident anecdote.
Patty, okay, please keep going.
Nancy, it's the Nancy Pelosi clap for me.
It's the clap for
it's
me.
It's the clap for me.
Okay, Patty, Kansas City, New York City, or Party City?
Party City. Well, I love.
Okay, Patty. Electoral politics or Alexis Bledel?
I gotta say, the Alexis Bledel Electoral College. I think Alexis Bledel is a wonderful actor, but she just hasn't done enough. So I think electoral politics rock.
Yeah, I wish Alexis Bledel were just a little less lazy.
I wish she were smaller.
She's
huge. Okay. Patty, which are you more excited by? The brand new Lexus in your driveway on Christmas morning or the bow on top of the car?
Oh my God, the fucking bow! I could wear it. I'm going to wear it on my back like a turtle shell, honey.
Patty, E.E. Cummings or Oh God, I'm Coming?
Oh my God. They both sound yummy. But I guess, do I have to pick? Please don't make me pick, George. George, don't make me pick. Oh my gosh, man. I would say, you know, hard to choose, but I say I say E.E. Cummings because one of my favorite noises to make is E.E., you know?
So true.
Sorry, I was choking on an M&M from earlier. I was going to say one of my favorite noises to make is E.E., like Mini-Me in Austin Powers. So,
of course.
And him coming? Rest in peace. Vern Troyer died.
Yeah, he is dead, actually.
He died.
Okay, he did. Patty. White Christmas, Black Friday, Blue Monday, Yellow Submarine, or Joseph's Technicolor Dreamcoat?
I gotta say Black Friday because those TVs get so big and you pay like $7 for it if you wait for 3 days. You know what I mean?
So true.
Patty, Bed, Bath, or Beyond?
Beyond. There's so much to learn out there in the ocean.
Okay, Patty. Wreath or Ringwraith?
Okay. I gotta say, I know I have a wreath in my house and that you guys can see that because we're on a Zoom chat. But Ringwraith, I think because that's kind of like I'm a sci-fi nerd girl and I haven't read any of the books.
No, they're so long.
No.
And the movies do such a good job.
They do such a good job. I watched a couple of them like a couple months ago, I guess, in lockdown. And they didn't hold up.
Oh, I completely disagree. I love them to death.
The acting in them, Sam.
No, it's so touching. We can't get into it because we talk about it every week now.
Wait, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I had no idea.
And I cry. I think I will cry when if I ever meet Sean Astin.
I love him
so much.
I feel that. I feel attached to. I mean, I will always love it. I matched with one of the Hobbits on on a dating app, I think Tinder, and then he unmatched with me a few minutes later, and I think it's because he didn't see that I was transgender.
Wow. Was it Mary?
That's what I would assume. It was the one with the less narrow nose.
This is a bomb to drop.
This is a bomb to drop. Yeah. Wow.
Patty, can I ask you something?
But I don't want to hook up with him because Sam told me that he had a big cock because he sucked. But yeah, go ahead.
Do you think he unmatched with you because of something he saw in his Google alerts?
I didn't think of that before, but I guess it's in the realm of possibilities. What are you getting at, George?
All I'm saying, Patty, is things aren't always what they seem.
And you need to think about where people are coming from. You know, potentially he could have been in some sort of lift accident at that very moment and had a pole going from his hole to his brain.
Exactly. And here you are dragging him on a podcast without even asking him, hey, I know you unmatched me, but were you in a deadly lift accident?
I mean, I'm a pretty smart girl. I don't think you need to evoke my trauma and a dead artist's trauma to get a point across to me. I get what you're saying. I'm sorry.
When you say you're sorry like that, it doesn't sound like you're very sorry.
It sounds kind of like you're mocking us.
What do you want me to say? Like, oh, I'm sorry. God, you fucking grow up.
Patty, you know,
the world keeps spinning.
What are you saying?
The world keeps spinning whether you get the apology you want from me or not. So just like...
Patty, the world doesn't spin.
Huh?
You still believe that?
Patty, that's like one of those like Facebook misinformation things that like boomers
what?
Share.
What? No.
Yeah, there was like a whole thing in the New York Times about it.
I just think, Patty, you know, you have a pretty big platform and it's your responsibility to not share, like, perpetuate the spread of misinformation about the earth spinning.
Can I tell you guys something off the record? I know I have a big platform and I was really trying to use it to like... you know, during the election cycle to get people involved. But I unfortunately, and I regret it, fell victim to the Facebook misinformation machine. And it just grew things just kept happening for me. And I was reading a lot of misinformation. Anyways, worst comes to worst, I ended up somehow voting for Harissa Cheese.
Oh my God.
Presidential election. Yeah. I wrote in Harissa Cheese and I feel so stupid. You know how stupid I would feel if Trump won? Thank God Joe Biden won because I'd be over here screaming.
Like, I mean,
our girl, Greta Gerwig.
I'm just glad Harissa Cheese didn't win.
Can I say something, Patty? Just, and I don't want to call you out, but. Yeah. You know, you said you fell victim to misinformation. The thing is, the memes that I saw about Harissa Cheese literally had on them copyright 2019 Patty Harrison. So it seems to me that rather than falling victim to misinformation, you began these campaigns literally with the intent to meddle in the U.S. election by getting people, and I mean your fans, you know, young people, queer people, you know, people who really are affected most by Trump's policies to vote for Harissa Cheese.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't feel good about it. And, you know, I wasn't lying, George. I want to clarify. I never lie. Earlier when I said some things happened and I got things, you know, I got more information. That was kind of covered in me kind of just skipping to the point because I didn't think you wanted to hear all of that. And yeah, I had people phone me. I got like 400 transgender and gender nonconforming and non-binary teenagers to phone bank for Harissa Cheese, and I feel so fucking stupid for just like buying into that fucking algorithm bullshit.
But just once again, it's, you're using the word buying into when in fact you're leading the charge.
You're creating
you're
this
not, you're not really movement. Falling victim to any outside dynamics. You said you're going to get an army of transgender and non-binary young people and you're going to force them to campaign against their own best interests.
Well, George, can I? I'm going to ask you a question to make a point. So, do you believe that I'm a woman?
Yes.
You believe trans women are women?
Yes.
Okay. Well, just so you know, I'm a woman. So when something happens to me or toward me, I am a victim. And I am a victim of the choices that I made during this election. Why don't you take your little detective hat off and take your little magnifying glass and cram it in your ass like you gay people always seem to want to do with shit. You know? Cram it in your fucking ass.
Oh my God.
Wow, Patty. I
did my best. Cram it in your fucking ass.
Did not expect this kind of
aggression
attack, honestly. I mean, I thought we could maybe have a conversation of an opportunity for healing.
You know, you clearly are regretful. You want to change. You don't want to be spreading this misinformation anymore.
I do think, Patty, you know, it's interesting that when questioned, your instinct is to lash out. Mm-hmm. And listen, I'm not a doctor, but I do have some medical training that I've done as a hobby. I've taken a master class taught by Anthony Fauci. And I think that what I'm seeing in you is, in fact, some signs of hysteria.
I think he said he took a master class with Dr. Fauci and he's seeing
Dr. Fauci. Have you heard of him, Patty? Has he made it into the memes you consume on Facebook, or do you think he's fake too?
I know who Dr. Melissa Fauci is.
No.
I got it wrong. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know who it is. I'm sorry.
Well, here's what you need to know. One, I've hooked up with him. Two, he's got a giant cock.
Oh, it went from big to giant.
Well, no, the other ones all have big ones, but Fauci is really the top kahuna.
Oh my God, did you? Okay, so I know you shouldn't ask a gay man this, but who wore the pants in that situation? You know what I mean?
Oh, I let him wear whatever he wanted. He was trying on anything in my closet, if you know what I mean.
Oh my God.
Well, it's interesting. Sam then posted about it and said, just fucked Dr. Fauci, socially distanced, of course.
Oh my God. Wait, okay,
because
so
his cock was so big that across the room I was doing whatever I wanted to it, and it was socially distant.
Sam, that's so fucking awesome. You fucked a doctor? Wait, what does he do? What is he? You said he's a doctor, but what is he a doctor of again? Why did you bring him up?
Pretty much King Doctor. He's in charge of them all, and he's leading the efforts to bring visibility to doctors everywhere.
He works mostly on visibility for doctors.
Eye doctor.
Yeah, I guess in that sense, you're right, Patty, that he is an eye doctor. In the sense that he focuses on visibility. Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice. You took a master class?
I took a master class with him, and then Sam obviously took a master ass with him because he fucked him.
Oh my God, Sam, you fucked him, and you said his cock was giant? Am I allowed to tell people this? Because this is a juicy story. And yeah,
you can tell him. We're going to have him on the podcast probably next week or something. We thought it would be
Like Nick Nanny, he's a Kinsey one that Sam seduced.
Yeah. And we think it would make a great New Year's episode just to sort of thank him for everything he's done this year.
Yeah. Thanks, babe.
You know, I will say this about Sam. I would consider myself a Kinsey one. and only attracted to straight men. Really. And like, you know, call me boring, but I like a guy who opens the door. And when I met Sam, there was something about him that I, even though I knew he was a little girl man, like gay as hell, so fucking gay, I couldn't help but have a dream once or twice about us sitting on a blanket by a lake, and he made a move on me, and I didn't fight it.
Patty, I can't help but think the way you are describing the Kinsey scale means that you think 0 is being attracted to straight men and 6 is being attracted to gay men.
Yeah.
And that's...
In many ways, that is true.
In many ways, that's true, you know.
That is so dumb.
I think that's really interesting.
Wow. Are we... ready to
let's just mention the topic. We can just mention
wait before we do. I think one of the biggest lies, or, you know, we're talking about misinformation, I think one of the biggest fibs being told in this recording is that a dog barked and no one acknowledged it, and you're trying to gaslight me because that's what men love to do to women. And so whose dog barked?
Fine, I'll say it. It was my dog, okay? Is that so horrible? Do you want to lock me up now? Are you going to post about this? About how Sam had a dog barking? He shouldn't be allowed to have a platform? Well, I think I deserve to have a career despite my dog barking. So sue me.
I think you deserve to have a career too, Sam. I think you're very talented and a kind person, and you work really hard and you care about your friends, but you need to shut that dog the fuck up.
Sam, I'm sorry to say, but I'm with Patty on this one.
Okay. I'm listening and I'm learning, and I'm so appreciative that you guys can be honest with me, because nobody in this town is.
Patty, do you think listening or learning is more hot and sexy?
I think learning is for school. Listening is what you have to act like you're doing in order to get someone to fuck you. Mm-hmm. And that is really sexy.
Yeah. People, the learning thing is interesting. People will say, I'm a lifelong learner. And it's like, no, that stopped at school.
Learning stopped when school stopped.
Learning stops at school.
Imagine, okay, jokes aside. All jokes aside.
Yeah.
It is, it gives me goosebumps. Kind of like a chilly fall day shudder. If I didn't wear a thick enough jacket, kind of goosebumps. When I think about the fact that there are people in the world that earnestly tell people out loud that they're lifelong learners. That they identify as a lifelong learner.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
it's like, yeah, duh. Like you literally have to continue consuming new information.
Right. Right. It would be interesting if there was a movement against that, of people being anti-learning.
Called stop it at school. It stops at school. I stopped at...
Stops at school.
Stops at school.
Sass.
Hashtag stop it at school. Seriously, you guys, people are learning outside of school and it's messed up and dark.
I can't stop learn it names. Now. I can't learn faces.
I only know the towns I knew when I was growing up.
Honestly, sometimes it feels that way with some people.
Like, what is that character? Like a subtle, nuanced.
No, that's
I looked out the window and there was a squirrel on the power line outside my window, and that's kind of what it softened. It softened me.
Are squirrels a trigger for you?
No, they do soften me though. I they remind me of my home.
You grew up mostly among squirrels.
Yeah, and on the grounds of a gay prison, but I was in prison. My daddy just worked there.
You were a warden. Well, your dad was a warden in a gay prison, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was daddy's little girl on the ground.
Little girl.
And the men there, they loved to watch me dance. And they taught me a move or two.
Oh, that's nice.
I learned how to do the splits from men at a game.
Oh my God. Well, this actually is a great segue to our topic, I believe, which is tradition.
Okay.
Patty, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
We, you know, because this is our, in many ways, Christmas episode. This is the episode that will come out closest to Christmas. We wanted to bring some cheer to our listeners and talk about just some heartwarming, fun, family-friendly stuff, which is why we wanted to open with the various men who have big cocks. But now we want to transition into a topic that we thought of collaboratively together, which is the concept of traditions. What are some of your favorite traditions?
Well, real quick, can I say, can you edit like a squeaky door slamming sound effect? Like a go in the door closing?
Can I sample you making that noise with your mouth?
Like, well, it's not gonna, I don't think it did it very well. Like, I don't know how to do a door slamming noise.
Okay, we can, so I can
get
Google
the sound
that.
Bite.
Yeah.
Put the, okay, so I'm gonna take all this kind of like blue humor talk about big cocks, and we're gonna shut the door on it.
Hey, that was pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for asking me to be on your podcast. And
of course.
And I'm excited that I get to be on the one that's so close to Christmas and like New Year's too, I suppose.
Yeah, well, we wanted to have you because we know you're really religious.
I'm not. I'm really not.
Dang it.
Oh, wow. Well, that really messes us up.
Wait,
things.
What made you think that?
Oh, I think...
Well, I mean, no offense, but your whole vibe.
Yeah, you gotta give like a Christian girl thing.
My whole vibe? Christian girl thing? What the fuck? That's... What? No, not me. No. No way. Not me. I've never.
To me, when I picture you, Patty, and I know we don't know each other that well, but I picture you wearing kind of tights and then really large Uggs that are a special holiday edition. So they'll have maybe like a little embroidered snowflake on them. And then a scarf that is so giant that it actually, I would say, looks like not fashionable. Like it is, you know, there's like the oversized that looks good, and then it's even larger than that. And the scarf is like a red-green plaid. And then you're holding a coffee that you asked specifically for them to put so much hazelnut syrup in it that it is actually not biodegradable anymore. And then you are standing in
front, which coffee famously is
in front, where you're standing in front of a Christmas tree, and you're looking straight at the camera, and you're saying, "It's time for all the kids to come into my home for secret snowflake."
And weirdly, I have the exact same image in my head as that.
Weirdly,
I was gonna just, I'll just say same.
For secret snowflake, George.
Yeah.
I'm in this. You put me in this horrible outfit, this insane outfit. You give me a really gross coffee, and then I'm on camera for some reason, and then I'm inviting children into my house for secrets. What is, explain to me what secret snowflake is right now. I'm really agitated right now, because where I think this is going and what you're saying about me, I'm agitated.
What do you think I'm saying?
I think you're saying I'm some sort of Christmas pedophile filming it. I think you're saying I'm some sort of badly dressed pedophile in the holidays. I don't like that.
Patty, you're so worried about appearing this way. It kind of feels like you
it's weird. I mean,
you went there. You know, we weren't saying that at all. We were mostly just pointing out how Christian you were, and you ran and
the normal response.
Patty, to me, I think of you as a millennial Mrs. Claus.
But see, you took it in a direction that we were not accusing you of at all, which makes.
Well.
I do want to say, Patty, you know, and I'm trying to maintain a kind of calm tone in my voice because I know how you can get. But this is reminding me of previously when I confronted you about the fact that you spread misinformation during the election. And you immediately started.
Dad, I owned up to it.
I don't know if you did own up to it. You technically admitted it.
Well, you admitted it and then claimed that you were a victim because you're a woman.
I can be both.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
that's
sure,
definitely
but
is
not
fair.
For the same thing.
It's just a different conversation. Like, yes, women can be victims.
Well, didn't you see the High School Musical? You can be a jock and a baker too.
Well, of course we saw High School Musical, but I don't think that's relevant information.
Because you can be a jock and you can like cooking and baking, and you can be a victim and also be the aggressor.
Wow. Okay, well, Patty.
I learned a lot.
Someone took Dr. Fauci's masterclass.
Is it? I'm kind of worked up right now. Can I take a cleansing breath?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please.
Okay, I feel back down. I feel back down to earth.
That's
okay. Wow, that was
real. I was scared.
Okay, I was scared too.
Well, you know what? I think
I do. I
really
Christmas.
Think. Well, yes. No, you like Christmas and and everything that has to do with the Christian faith.
No, I don't like everything. That book is so heavy.
Yeah.
Right.
Even the small ones. Even the small ones.
Even the small ones.
They're so thick.
Get Peter Jackson in there to make a damn movie version of it because this book is too long.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine where they'd shoot that at? Probably like
New Zealand.
Probably New Zealand, yeah. That would be sick.
It would be. I understand that there have been adaptations of various parts of the Bible, but I do think it would be iconic if someone announced a 12-part like huge blockbuster series called The Bible and it starred Chris Hemsworth.
Ooh.
As God.
as God.
it's like a list of the cast, and then you know how at the end when it's like one person that's extremely famous, it'll be like, and Meryl Streep as whatever. It's like the whole cast, and then at the end it's like, and Chris Hemsworth as God.
And it's all music by Sia.
Oh my
god. It's
like
Chris Hemsworth turns and he like moves his hand and like you see like all these flowers grow and like the grass is like dead and like yellow, and he as he moves his hand over it turns green and flowers start to bloom out of the grass, and the music is like or however she sings, you're gonna have faith, or like she kind of sings in a patois, which I'm not.
She does, yeah.
She does, yeah.
Which I've never understood. Why does she do that? No, I was like, what is her background?
Like,
why?
She's Australian.
Yeah.
So she just doesn't get it.
Yeah. Well, she came up in like I think like a trip hop scene. Like her early music is really like it's. She leans even harder into it.
I remember "Breathe Me."
Beautiful song.
Yeah, actually a beautiful song. I remember really enjoying that song. And then it was all downhill from there. And all leading up to Bible, the movie.
I think she has some good music. I think she, like,
I
her
agree.
Pre...
I actually love her and I stan.
I really actually love Sia up to Chandelier. Chandelier was the last song that she did that I really thought was, like, that I really liked a lot.
What's that song that's like, Ricochet,
oh, yeah.
Take your aim?
I think that's Calvin Harris.
Mm-hmm. Featuring Sia.
Don't
erase
Titanium.
Her.
Have you said? Wait,
it's David Guetta.
Wait, have you?
No, is it?
You
no, you're
seen...
thinking of LaRue.
LaRue,
David Guetta. Have you seen the video of her singing that song at a Pulse, like right after the Pulse shooting?
No.
She sings that song and she starts crying, and it makes me cry every time I see it.
Aww.
It's like a beautiful, it's a beautiful video.
I was expecting this to be some sort of cringe, cheesy thing. And...
No, it's real. Aww. I watched it in lockdown. I was like, I'm gonna check on this video, see how it's doing. And it
can I just say something
again?
Us now earnestly talking about a video of Sia making us cry is like when Hannah Gatsby released the tension, says that in comedy you have to release the tension.
Wow, yeah. This episode is our Nanette.
I think.
This episode is our Nanette.
I think what I've noticed in the internal dialogue that is happening right now is that I've been easing back into drinking more coffee, and the coffee has hit me while we were doing this podcast. And I was like, I feel like I'm giving off the vibe that I'm tweaking. And I feel like it's probably exhausting, you know, for you guys, for me to be just only doing bits at you the whole time.
No, that's what we like.
Well, I mean, to clarify, this entire time we have been trying to stop you from doing bits. And every time you say something, we say, Patty, can you please just give it a rest for one second? I mean, this is a serious podcast. We're here, you know, I think as two LGBTQ creators, we care a lot about speaking and hearing ourselves speak.
LGBTQ and creators? Often,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you make a gay baby?
Yeah. I mean, George and I have like a chat going right now where like the whole time we've been like George, I was kind of freaking out because I was like, is any of this usable? And George was like, honestly, you know, we can maybe pay, like, I know an editor who's like really, really talented that can like cut around all of this to sort of make it so that you're not doing so many bits and so that George and I are talking more.
Can you just add me to that chat real quick?
I just want to see.
Patty, this is kind of
defeats the purpose.
It wouldn't make sense because the chat
I think she should see. I think she needs to know if just to move forward. Okay, I'll invite you to the chat.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Well, oh my gosh. It's like lots of pictures of big straight cock. You weren't lying. There's every cock of every celebrity man I could imagine in this chat. You said you were talking about me being exhausting, but I'm saying lots of big straight cock.
Well, the two topics we discuss on that chat, which we've created for, I mean, we've been talking about you behind your back for years, and we have that chat and it goes straight cock, complaint about Patty. Straight cock, complaint about Patty.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
Patty.
Some of that. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to post the link to Sia singing at the vigil here so you guys can see it. It's really good.
Oh my God.
Great. I think that'll be a really good addition to our chat dedicated to cocks and complaints about Patty Harris.
Well, I'm cleaning it up. I'm cleaning up shop.
Should we do our final segment?
I think we should. I don't know if I have... Oh, you know what? I just thought of one that I can do.
Okay. Describe it to Patty and then do yours.
Okay. Patty, this final segment is a segment that famously I think is bad. I want to take that back. I think I'm bad at it, but Sam is very good at it. So I always feel insecure when we do it because it's more his sense of humor than mine, I would say. My sense of humor is more, you know, intellectual, cerebral. I'm kind of reading books when I'm on stage.
I see that.
It's boring. His sense is boring.
It's boring.
Oh, don't say that. People are different.
People are different. And that's, you know, something we always come back to. So the segment is called Shoutouts, and it started when the podcast was much more straightforwardly about straight culture. So we thought a shout-out, a radio shout-out, a TRL shout-out was one of the straightest things in the world, really. And it's so important in the rich tapestry of straight culture. And so for shout outs, we each give a shout out to something that is making us happy or something we love that week. Sam, I know you said you had one.
Mine was previous episode specific, but...
Oh, okay. Then you don't have to go.
Yeah,
Should
you
I
go first.
What's up, listeners? I want to give a quick shout out to Dried Flowers. The drama, honey. The other day, I was looking for flowers and they were too expensive. And I thought, what if I pay the same price for flowers that are dried and could last forever? zombie bride found dead because she's a zombie, and so are these flowers. They're dry. I love a dry flower. I love flowers, but I also love it when they're dry. And in fact, dry flowers are more chic than normal flowers, because normal flowers, to me, I'm getting straight wedding, whereas with dry flowers, I'm getting gay divorce. Mm. And so, once again, a shout out to dry flowers and a shout out to me persevering with this segment, something which I have said multiple times I'm not good at.
Woo! Okay, I'll go. What's up, listeners? I just want to give a huge shout out to needing to pee. Whenever I do this podcast, we do two in a row, and I'm chugging water. I'm usually drinking a coffee, and by the end of the second one, ooh, baby, do I have to pee so, so bad. Sometimes I hope that it inspires me to, I don't know, be a little goofy, sort of a pull through the brain situation, but for pee. But I feel that also sometimes it is a curse and distracts me because I'm waiting for it to be over so that I can relieve myself. And that is the duality of man. And I love needing to pee. And I love my squad. XOXO, Sam. Woo!
Okay, okay, I want to give a shout out to, I want to give a shout out to all the rotten food in my fridge. Yeah, I was out of town for a couple of weeks. Every time I go out of town, I forget to clear out my fridge. And I was back, I went on three back-to-back trips recently. And I didn't clean out my fridge once, and I got home last night. And everything in my fridge is rotten. And it smells like someone took a big, nasty, sick shit. Like, they're really sick, and they took a shit in my fridge. Because it doesn't just smell like shit, it's sour, too. So I'm giving a shout-out to not remembering ever to clean out my fridge before I leave. And guess what? I didn't clean out last night either, and that rotten shit smell, all that nasty food, still in my fridge.
Woo! Woo! Oh, so sour candy.
Well, oh my goodness, Patty, this has been such a joy.
This has been a real delight.
I had a blast. I miss you.
I miss you too.
I know it sounds bad because it's like technically anytime I see someone, I'm like, I miss you now.
Because of the circumstances.
The circumstances, but
because the world is a hellscape dumpster.
Because everyone's
fire.
Being so weird and random all the time.
Everyone's got that awesome sauce on ice right now. Their awesome sauce is like, you know, in a Tupperware in their freezer until God knows when.
Yeah, they're glow up,
right, Patty? Their
down.
Awesome sauce is in a freezer in a Tupperware.
It's sad.
It's sad.
I thank you for having me on. I had a lot of fun, and I don't think we actually talked about tradition at all.
And that's actually,
well, maybe our new
tradition of this podcast.
The tradition of this podcast.
Yay.
Yay. And that's the meaning of Christmas. Bye.